Please be seated as my mom comes over. At the 8 o'clock service this morning, my mother allowed me to read her remarks because she was coming to the 9:15, 11:15. And at the 8 o'clock service, you'll hear in my mom's story about the regiment of the person that she's highlighting. It's called, the title of the talk is "The Man I Never Knew." But in this regiment, it's a New Brunswick regiment, I believe, the man we're talking about. There was someone sitting here in the second pew. His name's Lou Dubay, and his father, Sergeant Wilfred Dubay, served in the same regiment as the person that my mom's going to talk about today. So who knows that kind of? So he may well have known the man I didn't know, so to speak. Over to you, Mom. This is weird.
Okay. Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit shine through my words and my heart. Amen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mary Greaves, and I was glad when Kit asked me to speak to you on this Remembrance Sunday, 2019. Thank you, Kit, for your courage in inviting me. And I... thank you, Chris, my techie husband, for your infinite patience. And thank you, all you kind people, some of whom I met last week and who encouraged me. I want to share with you my thoughts about our pilgrimage to France and take you there with me. All my long life, I have felt that we all owe a great debt of gratitude to our veterans and to their fallen comrades. I have not strayed from that path. It's so important to remember the sacrifices of the past, which enable us to enjoy the blessings of peace and freedom in Canada today. They died bravely defending our freedom. They died for Canada. The meaning of their sacrifice rests with us. 2019, the 75th anniversary of D-Day, was our chance to finally realize and fulfill this mission. It took me 82 years, but I finally got to go. I have a fear of flying. It's right up there with public speaking. But the mind is ultimately a slave to the heart, and my longings prevailed. While taking off for France, I tightly gripped a small knitted prayer cross given me by my son. I believe it was made by the ladies of St. John's, Bowmanville. Here it is. This cross sustained me and enabled my faith to see me through that long flight. And as a friend told me, just do it. It was a great honor and an adventure for us to attend the 75th commemoration of D-Day at the Juno Beach Center in Normandy. Did anyone else here attend that day? No? Did anyone watch the television coverage that day? Good. It was an awesome day. A handful of elderly D-Day veterans in their 90s, sitting or walking on the beach that awesome day, inspired everyone there as their fallen but not forgotten comrades inspired them to make the sacrifice to journey so far from home. June the 6th, 1944. That's the day that changed everything. It was also called the longest day by Erwin Rommel. D D-Day has come to symbolize the heroism and sacrifice of all those who fought at Juno Beach, the fierce battles that followed in Normandy, and even become a focus for all who served in World War II. Walking on Juno Beach at Saint-Aubin-sur-Mer on the English Channel was an incredible moment for me. Some of you may be familiar with the iconic photo of the 3rd Canadian Infantry Division descending from their landing craft and wading into the beaches on June the 6th. There is a large square house visible in the background beyond the beach. Today, Canadian flags proudly wave along that same shoreline. The house from the famous photo has been restored and is appropriately named Canada House. Surprisingly little has changed on the beach and in the villages over the course of time. If you go to Normandy, you might be greeted by an old man with tears in his eyes. Bienvenue, bienvenue, welcome. You might be offered a glass of Calvados, a kind of local homemade apple wine, and it's terrible tasting stuff, really. But you will always be most sincerely thanked. The little villages all along the Normandy coast were the first places in Europe to be liberated from Nazi tyranny. The townfolk will never forget their Canadian liberators. In every little park and on street corners are monuments to Canadian regiments with the names of the men who liberated them. 75 years later, we watched people come out of their houses to greet us and to welcome us because we are Canadian. This was indeed a very humbling experience. But Chris and I also began a personal pilgrimage to France. Chris's godfather, Lieutenant Ernest Garber, was a D-Day Canadian. He was killed in the Battle of Normandy. This ran from June the 6th until the end of August 1944. Ernest was an Easterner from Bridgewater, Nova Scotia. He taught school, loved sports, was a pianist, and spoke several languages. In 1936, Holy Trinity Anglican Church sent him out as a lay reader, as well as to teach at the Shingwak, the Native Mission School in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. That is where he became known and loved by the Greaves family. Ernest was named Chris's godfather. In effect, Ernest is our brother, since we share a heavenly father. From Galatians 2, verse 20. Excuse me. Ernest taught at the Shingwak School for 3 years. He then made arrangements to enter the theological class at Bishop's College in Lennoxville, Quebec, to study to become an Anglican priest. It was 1939. In September, as did so many of our young men, Ernest eagerly joined the army, sacrificing his career and his youth. What follows is a moving tale of dedication and devotion to duty as he attended officers' training school in Brockville, Ontario, was posted to the North Shore New Brunswick Regiment, and was commissioned as a lieutenant. He eventually shipped to England for further training. On our trip, we were to learn the very tragic circumstances of his death. You will probably not have heard of Carpiquet. This is a small village in the Normandy countryside. It lies to the south of the city of Caen, where the Gestapo was based. Taking Caen was the Allies' main objective from the start of D-Day. Without going into great detail, the battle, codenamed Operation Windsor, was the important battle for Carpiquet and the small Carpiquet Airport. But this was the site of one of the most vicious and costly battles of World War II. The North Shore's New Brunswick was made up of self-reliant fishermen, farmers, woodworkers, and millhands of Scottish, Irish, and French origin. They had meshed well and were considered a top-notch cohesive team. But the North Shores were sent into murderous battle against the elite 12th SS Panzer Division. They were the notorious savage Hitlerjugend, or Hitler Youth, young 18-year-old fanatics who had been indoctrinated from birth to fiercely follow Hitler and who believed they were a superior race. In short, the Canadians were tricked and were lured into a trap to take the town of Carpiquet. For 5 days, they endured a living hell and suffered 330 casualties. The best of man, the worst of man. Major General J.E. Anderson, who commanded one of the lead companies in the battle, described Carpiquet as the graveyard of the North Shore Regiment. He said, "I am sure that at some time during the attack, every man felt that he could not go on. Men were being killed and wounded on all sides, and the advance seemed pointless as well as hopeless. I never realized until the attack on Carpiquet how far discipline, pride of unit, pride in oneself and family, and above all, faith in God, can carry a man, even when each step forward meant possible death." Ernest is buried in Bénisse-sur-Mer, France, the Canadian War Cemetery dedicated to the fallen of the Battle of Normandy. On June 8th, 75 years on, we finally had the exquisite honor of visiting his grave. Today, I am wearing a small pin which bears the number 2,648. That is the number of young Canadians who were buried in Bénisse-sur-Mer. That day, the cemetery was in full bloom, and it's kept perpetually beautiful by the Commonwealth Graves Commission. Chris placed a poppy on Ernest's grave. It is a tragic but oddly beautiful and serene resting place in that far away field. We felt the power of God's presence in that field. Bénisse-sur-Mer is only one of many Canadian cemeteries in France, Belgium, and Holland. We sadly walked along row upon row of heroes, fathers and sons, brothers and husbands, reading the names and ages of death, most of whose ages were 20, 25, 29. We visited an RCAF cemetery, Grosbeek, in Germany, where the dates of death were virtually all April 1943. All the gravestones are etched with a beautiful maple leaf. May they all be blessed and their bravery never forgotten. The emotional impact of visiting Tin Cot Cemetery, where 12,000 World War I Commonwealth gravestones appear to march away into the fields beyond. It's all very overwhelming. We walked on the killing stony Dieppe Beach, where the ill-fated 1942 raid took place. We trudged in muddy fields and in the trenches of World War I. The Somme, Courcelette, Passchendaele, Arras, Beaumont-Hamel, the Ypres Salient, and in Flanders fields, where bright orange poppies grow wild and where the famous poem of the same name was written by Colonel John McCrae, a military surgeon from Guelph, Ontario, who died in the field in 1918. Every Canadian should experience the magnificent, poignant Vimy Memorial, which is considered the most impressive and important war monument in Europe. At Ypres in Belgium, Chris and I celebrated our 62nd wedding anniversary at the Menin Gate, a World War I memorial where every single night at 8 p.m., the act of remembrance is held and has been since 1928, every night. It is in remembrance of the many thousands of Commonwealth soldiers who gave their lives in the Great War, 1914-1918. 54,000 names are carved into the huge interior granite walls of the arch, each belonging to someone whose remains were never found. But I would like to take you briefly back to Carpiquet, France, and leave you with a short poem written as a memorial to the men of the North Shore New Brunswick Regiment. The poem is called "The Day a Robin Sang at Carpiquet." It was written by R.F. Foran on July 8, 1944, the very same day that Lieutenant Ernest Garber was mortally wounded in Carpiquet. "Comrades, gather round me in this morning's sweet, still air. You from Baie du Vin or Miramichi, listen to this song so sweet and clear. This robin has survived a nest to build. Forget the smell of cordite, death and all. Remember that we too can dare to hope mid sound of war. Peace gives her siren call. Perhaps like me, a son of Restigouche, this strife has merely postponed love's sweet hour. And like our red-breasted friend in yonder bush, hope, like seeds, will one day burst in flower. Standing here, so humbled by this song, I dare not say, and you will agree, how many from this brave New Brunswick throng will live to taste the fruits of victory. However, for this moment, frozen in time, listening to his song with hopes so gay, let me thank my Maker for this hour, the day a robin sang at Carpiquet. This is our history. This is where we came from, lest we forget. Thank you."